Hi everyone, I'm your host Cody Kaczynski, and whether you're from the Great Lakes State or not, welcome to the Michiganders Podcast. I will be taking you all over Michigan to meet many of our fellow Michiganders discussing popular Michigan topics and highlighting their unique stories as they relate to the state of Michigan, from places to sports, culture, and more. No matter where we come from or how we live, there is one thing all Michiganders have in common, and that is pride in our state. And on that note, before we get onto the show, I want to thank our sponsor, Mappintour. Mappintour is a mobile app that features virtual experiences unique to where you live or where you're traveling. What's even better is Michigan even has its own experience called Story Road Michigan. More details on the app later, but now let's get into the episode. Hi everybody, and welcome back to the Michiganders Podcast. So right now we are hanging out in Godwin's Furniture and Mattress Center here in Owosso, and we're doing our first podcast with a guest, and we're super excited. So this is Storm and Banu, and we're so excited to have him. And so make sure you're staying tuned for all his info because he has a great life story. So Storm, do you want to say hi to everybody real quick?
Hi everybody.
That was so jovial, I guess would be the word.
We're out here having fun.
Yeah? I know. And aren't you comfy?
Oh, these chairs are nice.
I know. This is like the greatest setup. We were in our backyard, or my backyard, I should say, for our first podcast, and this is like a big upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm pumped. So thanks, Godwins.
Thank you, Godwins.
So let's start off because this is about Michiganders. Mm-hmm. We are Michiganders. What makes you a Michigander? Where are you from? Give us kind of a little background.
All right. A little background. I was born in Lansing.
Okay.
But then it's like, I think it was around fourth grade, I moved to Owosso. That was basically where I grew up until I graduated high school.
Okay.
And I've just been in Owosso. And then I moved to the UP for school a little bit.
Yeah, but, we talked about that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, coming from, you know, upstate, I guess you'd call it. I'm not going to sit there and call me a troll. I mean, some people call us that. So if you've lived in both, our Upper Peninsula and Lower, what do you like about both?
Well, I love the UP just because there's so many, like, I'm a big, like, outdoorsy kind of person. So, like, if I can, you go to the UP and it's like, there's just so many outdoor things you can do, mm-hmm. you know, go quads, or if it's in the winter, you go snowmobiling, you know, hit the trails, go on big hikes, you get Porcupine Mountains, things like that.
Yeah.
It's like, I love it. You know?
So you said outdoors, so people are probably wondering, like, why they interview this guy, what's going on with that? So, because you have a cool, you know, you have such a cool background, especially, I mean, obviously the Great Lakes are our biggest mm-hmm. resource here in Michigan and water in general. So, can you kind of tell us about that?
All right.
Why you're connected to water?
Yeah, I can tell you a lot about water.
Yeah, I bet.
You can drink it, you can swim. But no, it's by trade, I got a couple different jobs I do, but my premier, I guess, career, I would say, would be commercial diving. At this point in life, I'm mainly doing hydroelectric throughout Michigan, so mm-hmm. most of the dams we do are either consumers or boys, so we do a lot of the big rapids, you know, that whole water system down there that goes south. And then we also do, yeah, all the Midland, you know, Sanford, you know, all, you know, those dams warming up there as well.
So just so people understand, we're going to get more into specifically what happened with the dams, but so people understand your jobs, like what are you looking for? What are you doing? Like, kind of give us that background.
Yeah. Well, commercial divers, like the way we're described, like everyone's like, what's a commercial diver? I'm like, you ever heard of an underwater welder? And they're like, oh, you're underwater welder? I'm like, all commercial divers, or all underwater welders are commercial divers, but not all commercial divers are underwater welders. Like, that's not my thing. Like, I'm not good at it. I was at Moore's Dam, and I was just, you know, it was just a quick tack, but it was messy, and I'm just like, ah. But most of the things we do as far as hydroelectric is we do a lot of you know, inspections, and then, and, you know, observing the, you know, infrastructure and repairing that. And then we do, like, you know, a lot of, like, sheet driving, pile driving into, you know, to make, like, porter dams and things like that. And then, you know, and along with that, we have to do a lot of, what do we call, it's a broco rods, where they're basically, like, you hook them up to, 100% O2 and like high voltage, and you're down there, and it's like a lightsaber going through steel. It's really cool, actually. It's a lot of fun.
So how dangerous is your dad, really? Because you're like laughing right now, but is it like is it a problem? Should we be worried about you?
Commercial diving is, you know, right up there with, you know, like the statistics of loggers. Like it's a relatively dangerous, like, actually. Little story of how I came into commercial diving.
Yep.
It was like 2 a.m. I'm just bored. I'm just bored just going through YouTube. And I find this video of this guy who I come to find out is a commercial diver. He's just underwater walking around, and all of a sudden a swordfish comes up in back of him and starts attacking him.
Like Steve Irwin? Like, what are you talking about?
No, there's like a swordfish like underwater. It's like a deep sea diver like out in the Gulf or whatnot.
I know, but like Steve Irwin got killed by a manta ray. So I'm just wondering, the manta ray. Dangerous? Oh my God.
Yeah, well, it's like, I just seen that and I'm like, I like doing crazy things.
You like to risk your life.
Yeah, I like doing being nuts. So I'm literally, after that video, a month later, I was enrolled in dive school.
That's cool.
I was just like, but also before that, we're talking about careers. Like, I have multiple, and my second one is I operate it. You know, I manage a residential dock and hoist business in West Bloomfield. Mm-hmm. You know, Progressive Dock Service. And it's before I became a commercial diver, I was already familiar with working in the water and you know, use my hands, and, you know, a lot of the times you have to go in there blind, you know, it's all braille at that point, you know, just touching. So it's like, I was already kind of like in that. So as soon as I found commercial diving, I'm like, oh, that fits perfect with my skill set, you know, and it's like, I like being in the water. I'm good. You know, I'm good at it. I'm not amazing at anything.
So how long was your training process?
Usually there's about five or six different commercial diving schools in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And mine I went to North Charleston, South Carolina, and that is a IDI, and it was 6 months. It was a little over 6 months I went, because I took some advanced classes as well as, you know, DCBC, which is a Canadian certification, and, you know, and I tried to get in their ROV program, but they were too full, so couldn't get in it.
So if you had to put a number on how many dives you think you've done now, do you have a wild guess? No, thousands? Like, what do you think?
I can't count that high. I've been a certified commercial diver for over 2 years now. And my former job, because this hydroelectric I started in early December of last year, but before that I was doing a potable water, so I was climbing water towers. Okay. So it's like you climb all the way to the top, just a ladder straight up. You're just looking like, oh, today's gonna be a great day, guys. And you have to like pull up, you know, just with a downline, you're pulling up like 300 pounds of gear. And we were on the road, between 8 and 10 weeks, and we get 2 weeks off.
Wow.
So it was a grind. Yeah. So it's like, you know, say every one of those days, you know, 7 days a week for 8 weeks, you know, probably getting in the water, or some teams they have a system, and then other teams it's, hey, I'm the supervisor, and I'm saying that you're going in because I don't want to do it. so I did a lot of that, and I have a good amount of dives. I can't count that high.
Do you have a favorite place to dive in Michigan?
In Michigan?
Yeah.
I haven't really done a lot of wreck diving. Okay. Like, in school I got my scuba cert, but scuba and commercial are pretty drastically different.
Okay.
So you can't really do commercial, which is called surface applied. You can't really do that because you're on a tether.
Oh, okay.
You have like a big hose coming from a compressor. Mm. So you can't really do that recreationally. So I only have like 15 scuba dives.
Okay.
Like, you know, so yeah. You know. So I haven't really gotten to dive around Michigan, but I like I like being kind of like going north,
okay.
You know, in the rivers that I work with up, you know, working up there, like over, you know, it's a, you know, say Rogers Dam in like right south of Big Rapids.
Okay.
You know, it's a nice little area there, and or you know, and a lot of the guys who work with are good. So it was always always fun over there. So that's my favorite. But
do you have a story of like either your most dangerous time going or the craziest thing you saw down there or it didn't go as expected?
Well, I'll start with one of my most dangerous was with my old company. I have two incidents. One was a dam in Montana.
Okay.
And that is, it wasn't necessarily, it was, all the operators were new, so no one really knew what was going on. And they had one engineer, which everyone knows engineers are geniuses compared to the average man. So he was doing great. So I had to do a penetration dive into the turbine pit. And then there was a big stop block. It's basically just a giant steel block, just like that they actuate up to close it and shut, you know, open and close it. So I was in there. I'm hearing like things whirring around in there. I'm just like, this is scary. And then they started, like, once I backed up, they started closing the door a little bit. And there was like a pike that rushed me, and I was like, oh, like he was just trying to get out. So he didn't actually bite me, but it was kind of like a jump, you know?
Yeah.
But my most legitimately dangerous time was, I want to say it was in like West Virginia or something,
okay.
But they want us to inspect a raw water intake. So it's literally just a pipe going, you know, suctioning right into this giant pit, and it was all, you know, all mud, you know, clay, blah blah mm-hmm. blah. And I jump in there, it's an 18 foot climb with all my dive gear, which is probably, with our hats and our weight belts, is probably, you know, close to 100 pounds of gear.
Oh my, no, can't.
And I had to climb 18 foot down, jump in the pit, and I was in there with the what we call a trash pump. It's like a four inch hose, like suction hose, and like when you hit like the cement with them, they automatically break suction. Like you have the clay and it pulls it in, and then it, as soon as it hits the cement, it pops out. And they kept on asking me, like, do you know, you see any plumbing? Do you know where the plumbing's at? I'm like, dude, I can't see my hand in front of my face. Like,
so now I don't know where your plumbing is.
I had zero eyesight in that. And then all of a sudden I heard something kick on. And at the same time, I broke the suction. My hand flies back and I feel it on this grate. And like, it's stuck. It's stuck. And I'm just like, I try to like be as calm as possible, to the point where they thought I was messing around with them. I was like, hey, found that pipe. And they're like, oh, all right, where's it at? I'm like, my hand's in it right now. And they're like, what? And I'm like, I can't move my hand right now. And then the thing is, like, when you hit something, your hand automatically opens. So I drop that. My fist like goes further into the grating, because it's like West Virginia Cowboys. They just had like screen over it with a zip tie or something. That's what I felt. Like, it wasn't a legit grate.
Okay.
So I felt my hand like slowly just creeping in there. And they're like, we're going to send down a diver. I'm like, this is going to take you 10 minutes to get a diver down here. I just grabbed my wrist and I went like completely horizontal and put my feet on the pipe. And I was just like, I'm about to break my hand right now, but it's better than my whole arm. And I just deadlifted my hand out of there. Surprisingly, I didn't break it, but my hand was black and blue for a couple weeks. And then on top of that, now I got to climb 18 feet out of this pipe with one hand and 100 pounds of gear.
Oh, no.
So I'm just over here just like...
Hobbling, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was crazy. Yeah, that was definitely my most dangerous, because like, if that grate would have gave, my whole arm would have been in there and my arm would have been gone. Like, oh, there's no possible...
So you feel like Superman after that, or what?
Oh, yeah, I'm invincible.
Invincible.
I try to live my life just thinking, like, nothing bad could happen.
Besides me losing an arm.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, with my history, it's like, there's a lot of different things that it's like, it's easy to be scared, you know?
Yeah.
So it's my whole thing. I don't want to be fearful all the time. So it's that's kind of, like, where I go is, I'm like, I like to push my limits, like, you know, I do a lot of that fun stuff. So
we were talking a little bit earlier about, obviously, we've had two dams in our area mm-hmm. that had a awful failure. And you're familiar with those dams from what I've heard.
Those are my dams.
Those are your dams.
By mine, I mean, I contract and work on them. I don't own, operate, or in any way participate in the failure of any dams.
Yeah, so you have that legalese at the bottom. We'll make it scroll.
I am just a contractor doing what they tell me to do.
Yeah, so you can definitely see how your profession intertwines with a lot of people's, like, Michiganders' livelihood. Not even livelihood, I shouldn't say that, but our lifestyle is lake life, you know?
Yeah, just commercial divers in general are kind of like, we do a lot of important stuff that no one really thinks about. Yeah. Like, when you talk about, like, getting oil in the Gulf, you talk about, you know, the bridge infrastructure, you talk about, like, that's all us. Like, there's no one that can go in the water and build that without a diver. Like, right. There's no way.
Yeah. And so, you're one in how many people in Michigan that can do your job?
There's not a lot. Like, we were talking about it earlier. I was kind of exaggerating, but... Yeah, I can't.
It's one in a low number, right?
Yeah. It's like there's UCC in Stevensville, I believe, which, you know, I was talking to them, you know, a year ago, but I decided to not go with them. But they have like a pretty decent operation over there. But my job, Able Diving, we're a pretty tight crew, so we just kind of stick to ourselves. There's only like five of us.
So. Right. So when is the last time that you dove those two dams?
Oh, probably 3 weeks, a month before they blew.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of these dams that we work on, it's like my boss has been diving for over 30 years, and he was there when they were old, you know?
Right.
So a lot of it is aging infrastructure that these companies don't want to put the money or don't have the resources to put it into building these brand new ones.
Yeah.
And it's like there's a dam over in on the other side of the state that we just did like a $1 million project, got that finished, you know, a couple months ago. And it was a big, really big job, but there's so many dams that are kind of like in that line of disrepair and just put a Band-Aid and, you know, there's what can you do if you don't have the funds to do it, you know?
I feel like it's a lot of money involved and a lot of everyone has different interests.
Yeah, politics.
Yeah,
it's always politics.
Definitely. So speaking of interests, we'll get off diving for a little bit.
Sweet.
Talking about you went to the gym today.
Yeah.
And I was thinking pumping weights, but I know it's not pumping weights.
No.
You have like something on the side you do. I mean, you carry 100 pounds of equipment, but you also what are you into?
I've been a martial artist I've been a mixed martial artist for about 5-6 years now, but I grew up doing being a wrestler for Owosso High School. Coach Clev, he's the best.
Shout out.
Yeah, love that guy. But I was one of his wrestlers. I was never that amazing, but as soon as I started getting into the, you know, say Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and you know, I kind of came up fast, you know, using my wrestling with that. And then I recently got into Empire Boxing, which is an exclusive. It's a exclusive private gym. It's like the Kumite, like the invite only type stuff.
You're a
like
VIP.
Yeah, it was like crazy because I petitioned for basically a year to get in there.
Oh,
like
wow.
You have to like know people; they have to have seen you. It's like one of those things. But Empire Boxing, and they've gotten my hands real clean. Coach Glove, he's literally like the best in Michigan.
Yeah.
Like he is. And then on top of that, I do like American Karate, things like that. You know, Coach Al. And, there's a lot of, I love martial arts. Like, personally, it's like, as you see by my beautiful gut, like,
oh, I don't. We all got it. Aren't we all drinking coffee
this,
right now?
I got this six pack. Give me some, where's the White Claws?
I hate White Claws.
Don't say that.
Them.
Don't say that.
This I do.
Interview's over, dude. Cut it.
Cut it. It's canceled. No, I seriously, I really, really do.
Oh, no.
I hate White Claws.
I made even a Facebook post. I'm like, I'm a Claw Boy for life
what?
Right now, dude.
Ain't and no mango, laws when you're drinking. Claws?
No, mango White Claws, I'm done.
I heard those are the best.
Yeah, and also, I'm a lightweight too, so you give me two of those, I'm a cheap date.
Well, I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. I was like, yeah, we're drinking a bunch of Michigan craft beer, that's why we've all got guts right now. But he's like, no, I'm drinking the 90 calorie White Claws.
Actually, they're 100, but they're coming out with an 80. There's a little advertisement for you.
White Claw,
psyched.
Hit us up.
White Claw, give me some advertisement.
Give the whole podcast. I mean, give us a call. It's fine.
Hit me up.
I just said I hated you, but it's fine. Anyways, we'll come up with a flavor that
episode one called Burning Bridges.
Burning bridges and diving under them. Anyways, besides that, we just did a detour. You're fighting.
But I just did a tournament. Not the Michigan Open. What was it? I think it was Flow.
So you have to cut down on the White Claws before you
go. Yeah, I had to in February. In February, I placed. Yeah, because it was, you know, because of diving and being out of state, it was a number of years since I competed. So I got second in that tournament in February. It was a lot of fun. I got my got my buddy Mike. He got him rolling. He's a boxer, so yeah, but he's coming up too.
So is it the same story with diving as it is with jiu-jitsu, that you just like watch a YouTube video and you're like, I'm gonna do that, or how did that work?
No, a lot of that kind of came from my childhood. I was always just kind of an angry kid, and I enjoyed wrestling. I loved wrestling. Yeah. And it's like you graduate high school and it's you like unless you're collegiate, there's really no nothing to do after high school, you know, for wrestling. So I got into jiu-jitsu and I started doing that, and it's like I was always kind of like a rough, rowdy kid, so I'm like, I loved fighting, and it just worked out for me, and kind of like, you know, a way to channel your aggression and energy.
Yeah. So, yeah. Do you think there's a culture of that, like, in Michigan? Do you think there's a lot of people that are into mixed martial arts, or, like, was it hard for you to find your people in that kind of crew?
No, I melted in pretty quick, just because, like, you know, And also it's the kind of mentality you bring. It's like once you meet those guys, it's like if you're a tough person and you're just willing to kind of do the grind and be passionate about what you do, they'll usually accept you in pretty quick. And, you know, now it's like I've had the privilege of working with, you know, a bunch of different professional fighters, boxers, you know, and grapplers as well. And it's like it's a great, like, specifically jiu-jitsu is the best atmosphere. It's like, yeah, everyone welcomes you. It's like, you know, everyone's your friend. And it's like just the fact that you're there trying is a reason for them to like you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like you've been doing this for more than 2 months. Right. You know, good That's on cool. you, you know,
like they're good people.
Yeah.
To be around.
Yeah. There's I can't say never, but you don't really find martial artists that are just like that stereotype the media likes to portray. You know, there's not a lot of that, like, because going in the gym and there's always someone that's gonna beat you up, like, today there's a professional fighter, Adrian, this guy, you know, he's talking with Dana White right now.
And actually, do know who that is?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I do know who that is. Okay.
Yeah, he's very high level, and it's like just training with those people is humbles you every day. Yeah. And it's like, even if you are a high level, it's like my buddy Mike today, he's you know, he's still new to jiu-jitsu. He did like a perfect move on me, and it's like I wasn't even mad. I'm like, good job, man. Like, it's like, that's awesome.
You're killing
like,
the game.
Yeah. So it's
let's get White Claws after this.
Yeah, exactly. No, he calls him Sissy Drink, so it was like, I don't believe that.
Oh, so
that.
I can be friends with him.
Yeah, okay. I don't believe that, Michael. Stop it. So
if you're listening.
But no, it's just a great, martial arts is such a great environment. Yeah. Everyone just wants to see you learn to succeed and stick with it, really.
Right.
So
you said that you were kind of like a rough and rowdy kid.
Yeah.
What do you think made you that way?
Well, I just, growing up, like, I guess the biggest influence was my mother. Okay. Because basically, as far back as I can remember, my mother was sick. I can't tell you the disease. It was super rare genetic disease to where basically your body just starts attacking itself.
Okay.
So she went through like multiple like kidney transplants.
Yeah, I'm sorry
to hear that. Oh, it is what it is. But she had multiple transplants. She would go to, you know, Mayo Clinic, you know, every you know, year. We would spend like, you know, a month or two there, you know. A lot of stuff like that. So it's like I kind of had to grow up faster and kind of like be that person where it's like I seen her like have like strokes and she was walking around the house not knowing things, and it's like crazy.
Yeah.
So I really kind of like grew up faster. Then it's like, but that being said, I was kind of a rough kid because I grew up like that, and it's like having adults tell you what to do. I'm like, who are you?
Well, because you already feel, because my dad died when I was 14, and so you already feel like an adult, or that you've gone through such an adult thing, that when people try, I feel that.
It's 100%. Like, it's like, personally, like, I always feel like, you know, I'm just like, I'm in my 40s. Like, all my friends, like, even Mike, I just told you about, he's in, you know, just early 40s. Like, these are my friends. My other friend is 50. I'm a lot more of that level than just hanging out and partying and going to college parties. Like, I don't do that at all. So I'm just, I just very kind of like in that mindset. So then it's like, you know, 2005, she ended up passing away. Mm-hmm. You know, finally she got a stroke at the brainstem and did the good old KO. So that was definitely rough. And then just 2 years later, my mom's younger brother was basically father to me. He ended up passing away in a freak accident. And that was the second nail in the coffin for me. And then I was just raised solely by my grandmother and my step grandfather was a little abusive. So after that, I was in foster care all the way through high school and kind of, so I've been on my own for a hot second. I actually exited the program early at the age of 18, just because I was just tired of dealing with all the politics that come with, you know, being in the system and whatnot.
I mean, you seem like you have a good head on your shoulders, other than your choice in alcohol, which I won't hold against you, but I'm just wondering how you ended up.
Well, I think
so well-mannered.
I think the foundation was really my mother, though, because like a lot of those kids that go into foster care, they kind of have, you know, misguided parents and parenting and whatnot. Whereas my mom was very, very attentive and, you know, very caring and nurturing. So it was, I feel like the foundation of my personality was laid before she passed away. And then I was able to, you know, do it. Like, she was a single mother, put herself through nursing, you know, school and, you know, graduated college and, you know, bought her own house and blah, blah, blah. You know, she was very driven and compassionate, and she did a lot for me and herself. So it's like, I kind of seen that growing up, and just like, that's kind of where I get my drive from.
Yeah.
And then also I've literally told myself, it's kind of been my mantra, but I don't want to be another statistic.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, there's so many statistics of these, you know, foster kids that come out and they're either drug addicts or dead in prison, blah, blah, blah. You know, I've had foster parents tell me that I'm just going to end up staying in Owosso, getting married, knocking someone up that I don't love, and that's going to be the rest of my life. Yeah. My whole thing, I just don't want to be a statistic.
Yeah.
So I'm very driven, and also it's like, I just want to be independent. I don't want to have to feel like I need to rely on people or like, you know, just try to scheme in order to get through life, you know. Yeah. I want to be, you know, independently wealthy and achieve all this, and I feel like, you know, I'm not there, but I'm definitely on a decent path to do that, for sure.
What do you think your mom would say of your career now?
She would be like, it's too dangerous. You need to stop. You need to go back to college, because it's dangerous, and I don't want you to get hurt.
Oh. Well, you didn't break your arm off that one time.
I didn't break my arm, so,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to ask you, as Michiganders, as a state, whether it's through the legislative or just us people getting together on a topic, what do you think needs to either change or be worked on in our state?
Well, I think, you know, specifically being a diver, I think of water a lot, and it's the Flint water. It's like, I'm running in Flint right now. Flint's water is still not good.
Yeah.
It's definitely, we're
just
not drinking the water.
Had it happen. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was watching an episode of Shameless, and are you like caught up to date on Shameless at all?
Oh, girl. I know me some Shameless.
Okay, so I'm
actually on the newest season, though. I'm only like 3 episodes in, so don't kill it.
Oh, no. I'm on the Hobo Loco episode.
Hobo Loco. Ah.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
And the guy that Frank's competing with, they're like competing back and forth about who's more like a hobo. And the guy goes, well, I'm from Flint, Michigan. And that was today. I just like watched that, and it hit me in the chest so hard. I'm like, how dare you say something like that? I'm not from there, but I've worked there, and I have, you know, family that is from Flint. My stepdad was born and raised there, and I'm just, my eyes are like watering. I get so angry about it, and it's just like, and people will like make jokes about like dirty water and say Flint, Michigan, and just like, it just kills me.
Yeah.
And it's
demoralizing.
It really is. And I just am so sad, not only for the people that were physically hurt by it, but just that it's hurting our state's reputation as well, and that it will continue to harm people for years and years and years.
High levels of, wasn't it lead poisoning or whatever? What was in the water?
Yeah.
In the Flint?
Yes.
Cognitively regressive.
Yeah.
It's like,
so they don't really actually know. Yeah, it's going to be decades until they know the harm it's done on children.
Think of like these kids that are, so you're basically, not only polluting the environment, but you're polluting the people that are there.
Yeah.
And that could affect, you know, future, you know, future, you know, skill sets. And mm-hmm. It's just, we just push it aside because it doesn't affect us personally, you know? Yeah. So then also it's like, you know, my other business is in West Bloomfield. So it's like, I see the black and white out of it. Whereas like, you know, Oakland County is one of the richest counties in Michigan. I work for people with mansions on mansions. And then I go back to Flint and I just see just utter poverty. It's sad.
I know. So if we could go a little bit more happy note.
Yeah.
Because I'll sit here and nod for the rest of forever on that. And we could talk for days. I mean, we will shut this Godwin's down. Yeah. It already is shut down. But we will keep it going.
5-hour podcast.
Yeah. They will turn the lights back on and customers will start coming through here. Because that's how much we can talk about the Flint water crisis. Anyways, so if we could move to a little bit more positive. Do you have any, like, stories that you just makes you a proud Michigander?
Yeah.
Or, like, that's your favorite part? Or do you have any of that?
You know, my mom's whole side of the family is from the UP, so, yeah. Like, I have a big connection to the UP. I went to Finlandia University for a little bit until I found out, I'm like, oh, Storm, you're not good at institutionalized, you know, education. So it's, I'm not amazing.
Wait a second, you didn't like buying $200 books? You didn't like any of that? Oh my gosh, way.
I am not a smart person.
No, dude, you dive and like, no, I don't believe you. Anyways. It's like,
go down there and get that. I'm like, yeah, that's my skill set.
I wouldn't even know the first step of any of that, so.
But, yeah, it's like, yeah, I went to Finlandia up there, and it's like, I just like being kind of like, I like the weather. Like, I'm mm-hmm. northerner. Like, when I went to school and, you know, in the south, I was just miserable all the time. I'm a northerner through and through. I love being in Michigan. I love being outdoors. Like, my Ishpeming, Munising, Marquette, like, my whole family's from there, so we'd always go to, like, Superior and go on quad trips, things like that. It's a lot of fun. Like, mm-hmm. I loved it. And just, like, I went, did a lot of trips up there with my uncle and grandfather, and my biological grandfather, and it was great. Like, I love being in the UP. That's why I immediately, like, when I was looking for colleges, I was like, I don't care. I just want to go to the UP.
You're all about it.
That was it. Like, I plan on retiring up there at one point.
Really?
Like, Keweenaw Peninsula. That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've the furthest north I've ever been is, like, Mackinac Island. I know. I'm going to get fired as a host, aren't I?
Bye.
I know.
Hey, welcome to Storm's new show.
I'm going to pass it along to Storm. He'll take it from here. Yeah, it's criminal. But I just never got the opportunity to because, like, I swear I blinked and I was in college. And then I blinked again and I was a newscaster. Now I blinked again and here I am a host. No. So it's like...
No, it's... especially, like, doing my diving. It's like I'm diving all over the state.
Yeah.
So we were talking about it earlier. And it's like, I just got a motorcycle this spring. So what I do is I get done diving and then I just take a long way back and I go visit all the cool hot spots and places to visit and whatever. And it's like, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I bet on a bike, that would be cool. For sure.
It's so fun.
I've only been on a motorcycle once.
Oh, really?
Just once. It was scary.
It's scary at first for sure, but I picked it up within a couple of days.
I just like don't like my body not encapsulated in something that like if I fall, that's going to be my shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean,
someone cut me off the other day and I was like, oof. I just, when I was passing, I had me and this touring motorcycle that was in front of me, like they pulled out right into our lane, slowed down to 5 miles an hour. And me and him just immediately just swerved. I kind of tapped on their mirror and just folded it in. You know, you can just fold in a mirror. I just did that.
I don't know because I don't ride.
No, I'm just saying like in a car.
Okay.
Just in a car, you know how you can fold the mirrors in? I just did that to them just to let them know. Just like, hey.
I mean,
just let them know.
Well, I'm glad you're having fun out there. Is there anything else that you would either recommend to Michiganders that they either try? Like, I want... like either the weird B&Bs you've been to before or like somewhere you've traveled do you have any good ones?
I go there a lot because they're right down the river from a dam I work on. Okay. What are they called? I would love to give them a plug. It's a little family owned cottage.
Okay. No.
Asabo Cozy Cabins. Yeah, it's like a red.
Is it by the bear store?
Yeah, it's up the road from there.
Yeah, I know. I love the bear store.
Yeah, I haven't been
to the bear trap, but like,
I haven't been to the bear store, but I stop at the Cozy Cabin all
the
time.
So it's a bear that they have trapped in there. I'm not gonna like.
They actually have a bear in there?
Yeah, that's.
I thought it was just like, I thought it was just a gimmick.
No.
There's a real bear.
There's a real bear. Do you know what I'm talking about too?
Yeah, I know exactly.
Oh, well then I definitely, I pass it 1,000 times.
So the bear is usually, they just get a new one every so often, and it's named Coco. Yeah. Whether it's a guy or a girl, whoever it is, if it's a black bear or brown bear, it's Coco. Yep. So what do you get there?
I usually just ask them for whatever special they got. Okay. I don't know. They're just nice people. Yeah. I just like hanging out, to be honest.
No, and I love giving shout outs to, definitely. 100%.
Yeah, because I was talking to the owner and it's like, you know, she's a really great person. So.
And that is our episode today of the Michiganers Podcast. Again, we want to thank Godwin's Furniture and Mattress Center here in Owosso for letting us hang out today. This is super comfy, and again, I could talk about stealing it, but I might get arrested. So anyways, make sure you are following us on all of our social media platforms, on Facebook, Instagram. We've got it pretty much all. And then you can find this podcast on pretty much any podcast platform that you can think of. So we would love to hear from you, and make sure that you are commenting on those social media platforms. If you have any story ideas for us, we would love to hear them. And we will talk to you guys soon, and thanks again, Storm.
Thank you.
All right, bye guys.